I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, just a few of the verses. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And because of that, then, Joseph from Nazareth was going to Bethlehem with his wife Mary. Shepherds were in the same area. And this is a part of the message that will be developed later on, but it's just interesting to see how all these things happen as God makes provision for them. Keep in mind that these shepherds had been tending their flocks all day. They've come now at night, it's dark. Now they're only guarding their sheep. Something suddenly happens. Out of the darkness of this night, a bright shine flashes. And so you will notice in verse 9 it says, "And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." That's King James, which is good. They're sore afraid. You know what they mean. But again, great fear. That's the literal translation. They were in great fear. You can imagine from sudden darkness into bright shining light that they had not even seen during that day. The angel of the Lord speaks to them and says to them in verse 10, "Don't be afraid. Behold, look, listen, pay attention. I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy." Now they've been in great fear, now they're in great joy, "which shall be for all people." And you've got to understand now, is this angel saying this to all people, meaning all the shepherds, or all people? And you understand that it means all people. This Christ was not born just for a few shepherds or for the nation of Israel. He was born for all people. And this angel is announcing this. For he says to them in verse 11, "For unto you," speaking to the shepherds, "is born this day in the city of David, in the city of Bethlehem, a Savior." That Savior is the Redeemer. He's the Deliverer. "Who is Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of the Lord." Then you will notice he says, "And by the way, let me give you a sign." That sign is that you will go to Bethlehem, you will find a babe wrapped in baby's clothing, and he will be lying in a manger. That's the sign, and he gives it to them. A sign is to authenticate the message, and it was authenticated. Suddenly, with the angel, there was a multitude, and that multitude is a multitude of angels. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Just let me call something to your attention there. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth below, peace, goodwill to all men. And that was the message. And the angels ascended back into heaven. Message was delivered. Now, you want to know something about the shepherds? Stick around. You'll find out about the shepherds.
You may be seated. So what about those shepherds? You know, no Christmas program is really complete without its little band of shepherds, right? They're dressed in their little gunny sacks, you know, probably holding a stick for a staff. You know, they're frightened when the angels appear, and they marvel at the good news from the angels. They rush to Bethlehem to see the Savior King, and they tell all who's around there about the birth of the chosen child. And then as they return to their flocks, they're praising God. And they finish spreading their good tidings. They leave the stage. We don't really think about them much anymore after that, right? So why the shepherds? Luke is the only one who mentions the shepherds in the Gospels. So think about this. If we finish reading about the birth of Jesus Christ in Luke 2, verse 7, you know, where it says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." If you just go from that verse and then jump on over to verse 9 that Doak read for us, you know. It says, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, the glory of the Lord shone around them," you know. And the angel, you know, he tells them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, as Doug pointed out. For today in the city of David there has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And you know, when that suddenly that appeared that with the angels, that multitude of heavenly hosts, and they're saying, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. Wow. Now that's a birth announcement, isn't it? You would think that the announcement of the Son of God, Christ the Lord, the Savior of the world, you would think that that announcement would go to, you know, the high priests and kings, right? But who did it go to? At verse 8, you can't skip over that, can you? It says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds, that's where it came to. Why announcement to these shepherds? Who were they that they should be eyewitnesses of God's glory and receive history's greatest birth announcement? See, in Christ's day, shepherds kind of stood on the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder, you know. They shared the same status as tax collectors and dung sweepers, you know. That's where they were. In the days of the prophet, sheep herders symbolized judgment and social desolation. They were despised in everyday life. Basically, they're second-class citizens and they're untrustworthy. But that's where God brought the announcement to. So what can we learn by God's choice of announcement recipients here? And what can we learn from the way these shepherds responded to that announcement? See, I believe God is saying to us that, you know, it doesn't matter where you think you are. It doesn't even matter where others think you are. God loves you. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, God is interested in where your heart is, not what you do for a living. To the high-ranking people of His day, Jesus said this, Matthew 23:27. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. See, the shepherds had a heart for God. How do I know this? Well, look at how they responded. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, it says, the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Right? They didn't say, let us think about this. Let's form a committee and see what we should do about this. They didn't say, well, I need to go into town anyway, so while I'm there, maybe I'll check in on this thing. Right? No, it said they went straight to Bethlehem to see what had been proclaimed to them by God. They were obedient to what they heard from God. And then you look in verse 16, it says, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph. They not only went straight to Bethlehem, they didn't mess around, they went straight there, but they did it in a hurry. They went as quick as they could. They didn't waste any time obeying God. They knew what God had told them through the angels. Man, they're going to do it as quick as they can. Obey Him. And then in verse 17, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. Wow. They didn't keep it a secret. Anyone who was around, they were told them exactly what the angels had told them. They were witnessing to what they knew about Jesus Christ. Witnessing what they knew. We don't have to worry about, well, I don't know all the Bible well enough. No, witness what you know about Jesus Christ. That's what the shepherds did. And then verse 20, I love this. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. They glorified and praised God. They're heading back to work. How often do we get up in the morning and we're heading to work just glorifying and praising God? Are we thinking about, man, another day, I've got to do this or that? But I think God knew what He was doing when He made His birth announcement of Jesus to the shepherds. And I think God is making an announcement to us today. He's saying, long ago in the city of David, there was born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So our question today is, how are we going to respond? Do we have a heart for God? Are we obedient to His Word? Are we excited and just can't wait to obey what God says in His Word? Do we tell others what we know about Jesus Christ? And do we glorify and praise God with our life? Because, see, He is the one who's worthy to be glorified and praised. What will our response be? We should all be seeking Jesus, not just December 25th, but 365 days of year. From the time you wake up, we should be seeking Jesus. And you know what? At His birth, not only did the angels seek Him, there's another group of men, Gentiles, who sought the King of Kings too. Let's wait and see what happens there. ABC.
If you check your Christmas cards, you'll see that there are pictures of wise men, and they were what we call the camel riders. They didn't have autos back in those days, but there were plenty of camel dealers who were willing to sell their camels for transportation. The story of the three wise men is found in Matthew chapter 2. I'd like to look at that very briefly with you. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to see what we learn from the wise men. They're also called the Magi in some translations. We read in Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, thus it is written by the prophet in the scriptures, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" One of the very interesting accounts of what happened around the time of the birth of Christ is the visit of the wise men. And you've probably heard that little phrase which says, "Wise men still seek him." It's very true. People who are wise want to have a relationship with their Lord and their God. Most of you probably don't get the paper anymore, the newspaper. You look at it on your computer, the news that is. But I always look every year in the newspaper for ads, full-page ads, which honor the Lord. And this one is from Hobby Lobby and Mardell. And it's a picture of the wise men going to find the Christ child. Very important in the account of the birth of Christ. Very important. What do we learn from the wise men? Well, Don already mentioned this, the fact that they, as the shepherds did, they sought the Lord. There's a verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, which was given to the people of Israel after they were taken into captivity. And 70 years had passed by, and the Lord said to His people, listen to this verse, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you." So you know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, for people who really want to know Him, they can find Him. He loves us very much. And if we seek Him, we will find Him. We will know that we can have Him as our Savior and as our Lord. The wise men, lesson number one, sought the Lord diligently. They came from a far country all the way over to the land of Israel, and there they found the young child. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." I want you to catch that little phrase right there. "And he is a rewarder of those who seek him." When the wise men came and found Christ, they bowed down and they worshiped him. They were rewarded for their search for the promised Messiah of God. And you know, the Lord rewards us when we seek him. He rewards us what kind of things? Not just material things, but he rewards us with peace and joy and a relationship with the God of the universe. So we would say the first lesson we think of when we think of the wise men is that they were wise in their desire to seek Jesus. Now, what about these magi, these wise men? Both terms are used, magi and wise men. They were men of high position. They actually weren't kings. That song that we just sang, "We Three Kings," they probably looked like kings, but the wise men were advisors to the kings, like the men who advised the kings in the Old Testament time, found in the book of Daniel. Daniel was an advisor to the king. They probably came from the area which we would know today as Babylon. They probably learned about the true and the living God. Well, how did they learn about him? They probably learned about God from either the prophet Daniel or from the Jewish prophets who many, many times would search the scriptures and proclaim the fact that the true and living God was going to send his promised Messiah to the people of Israel. And when he came, he would do something for them. He would forgive them of their sins and bring them into what we would call today the family of God. So they heard about the birth of Christ through Daniel the prophet or Jewish scribes, those who studied the scriptures, way over in the area of Babylon. Now, just very quickly here, we notice that there are three basic responses recorded in the Word of God with regards to Jesus when he was here on the earth. The first response is to those like Herod who are hostile to the Lord. Now, probably most of us who are here this morning, we don't know people who are really hostile to spiritual things or hostile to the Lord. But this is growing in our world today. There's a lot of animosity towards the Christian faith. And there are those who want to persecute Christians and don't believe that the God of the Bible is the true and the living God. So like Herod, some people are hostile to the Lord. And then like the chief priests and the scribes, well, they were the ones that told Herod where Christ would be born, but they were very indifferent. Now, what really amazes me is they knew exactly what the scriptures said, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, but they didn't go. They didn't take the wise men to find the birth of the Messiah of Israel. They didn't go. They were very indifferent. And the third reaction, of course, is the reaction of the wise men who really sought the Lord and they worshipped him. The text of Scripture is so interesting. It says when the Magi came to Jerusalem, and they went to Jerusalem first because, well, that was the capital of Israel, and the Messiah was to be born for the people of Israel. He was to be their leader. But as was mentioned, he was born for all men, for the people of the world. But they went to Jerusalem, and there they inquired, "Where is he who's born king?" Now listen, think of this with me. There's a little word in verse 2 there in Matthew that says, they ask, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They thought when they got to Jerusalem, they thought, well, there's going to be a lot of people who know where the Messiah is. But there wasn't a lot of people who knew where he was. And the word saying is a present participle which emphasizes continuous action. And so when the wise men came to Jerusalem, they went around, they saw this person and that person, and do you know where the Messiah is born? Do you know where the promised one from God is born? And people would say, no, we don't know where he was born. Well, then they said, well, we have seen his star in the east. Oh, you can't get away from the fact that the wise men were led, well, the King James text says, by a star. Many people have speculated what this star was like. Some claim that it was Jupiter, the king of the planets. Some claim that it was the coming together of Jupiter and Saturn in the sky. And that when they came together, actually formed the sign of a fish, which was a symbol of Christianity. But I believe the text of Scripture tells us that it was the glory of the Lord. The same glory of God that shone when the message came to the shepherds. That same glory of God. And it's the glory of God that led the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Remember, they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and the Lord guided them. And when he wanted them to move on in their camp, there would be that pillar of cloud by day. And if he wanted them to move even in the nighttime, there would be the pillar of fire by night. That was the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord. Well, it's interesting as you look at this account, you see that Herod was not happy when he heard about the birth of Christ. Quite contrary to the response of the Magi, when they heard about the birth of Jesus, they said, we're going to set out. We're going to go find the promised Messiah of the true and the living God. But Herod was very troubled. And he was troubled because he heard that there was a king who was born. Well, he was king over the area. And all he can think about is the fact that, well, there's another king. And the people of Israel are going to want this other king. And so, of course, he set out to have babies eliminated age 2 or under. Herod called for the chief priests. And he called them together and he said, where is this king to be born? I love this verse. If you were to try to explain who Jesus is to someone, how he's the eternal Son of God who left the glories of heaven and came here, you could use this one verse, and that's Micah 5:2. And I'm going to read it again. It's very familiar. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among all the people of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one whose origins are from the distant past, even from everlasting. And here's the point. If you wanted to tell someone who Jesus was, you could say Jesus is God the Son, who left the glories of heaven. And here's the point of Christmas. He came down here to the earth. He was born of a virgin, took upon himself flesh and blood, then went later, 30 years later, died on the cross to pay for our sins. Okay? This is who Jesus Christ is. Well, the chief priests and scribes, they knew exactly what the Bible said about Jesus. But you know, I keep looking at this and I'm saying, why didn't they respond? Why do you think they didn't respond? A lot of people have the Bible, and they read about the fact that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins, but they don't respond. Why do you think people don't respond to Jesus? Well, because they don't want to. You say, wow, that sounds hard and that sounds harsh, but that's really what happens. Sometimes people don't want to respond to God. There's nothing in their hearts that gives them the desire to know the Creator of the universe. But how thankful we are this morning that someone told us about Jesus and we responded. We believe the fact that Jesus Christ is God the Son who left the glories of heaven and came down here and was born as a baby, lived a sinless life, went to the cross and died for our sins, was buried and rose again for us. And we have responded. So the wise men were not only wise in their seeking and searching for the Lord, but also they were wise in their seeking information, even from God's Word. Somebody told them that the true and living God would send His Son to give His life and die for the people of Israel. They sought the Word of God. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 2, he was talking to his son. And he said to his son, if you will cry out for discernment and seek for her as silver, if you will do this, you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God, and the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The point is this. How wonderful it is that we have the Word of God, and we are able to keep learning God's Word. And God wants us to continually seek him. I had a professor at seminary. He used to say, I'd like to keep the seniors away from the freshmen, because the seniors, when they see the freshmen say, wow, I just learned something from the Bible. And the seniors say, I already knew that. You see, we need to be those who keep desiring to learn, to keep our Bibles open. And it's easy for any of us to fall into the situation where when we go home from church, we don't read our Bibles, we're not reading them during the week. But God wants us, like the wise men, to seek information from his very precious Word. How awesome. Well, the wise men, of course, you know in the Scriptures, brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they probably did not understand the full significance of the gifts that were given. But the gold, of course, has been considered the most precious of metals, a symbol of value and wealth. It was a gift for a king. And of course, Matthew in his gospel presents Jesus not only as the king of the Jews, but like John in Revelation, he presents Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know, we have a king this morning, and our king is King Jesus. We just recently voted someone into office. We have a president-elect. And those living in this country, we look forward to another president, another leader. But you see, we have a leader who's the leader over all. He's the leader over all men. He came to give his life for all men, and that's Jesus, King Jesus. So they brought to him gold. They brought frankincense. Frankincense was a costly, fragrant incense which was only used on special occasions, even in Old Testament times, when people would take the incense and they would sprinkle it on their offerings or their sacrifices because it gave such a pleasant smell or fragrance. They wanted to, and this is really a fact, when they offered their sacrifices to God, they would sprinkle this incense on in order to please God. They were saying from their hearts, Lord, we love you, we worship you, you are our awesome God and Savior. Gold, frankincense, and of course the last gift was myrrh. And myrrh was like a perfume. I thought it was interesting to check this out a little bit. Myrrh, when it was mixed with wine, was an anesthetic. And when Jesus was on the cross, they offered Jesus wine mixed with myrrh. And they put it on a sponge up to him and said, would you like to take this? And he didn't take it. But myrrh is also mixed with spices, and it's used to anoint bodies, those who have died. And of course, this is looking forward to the fact that Jesus Christ was not only king and not only worthy of our love and devotion, but Jesus Christ came to die. What are the three lessons of the wise men? Three major lessons? Well, they were wise in seeking Jesus. Let me pause for a minute. Here we are this morning, and it's awesome that you have come to worship with others on Christmas Sunday. I thought it was interesting that Don said several weeks ago when we were planning the service, he said, you know, to me, he said, it's a great thing to be able to meet with others, one another this morning, and worship the Lord on the day in which we honor his birth. And that's true. I believe it's honoring to the Lord that we can be here together. It's such a joy to see each of you here this morning. They were wise in seeking Jesus. Now my question is this. Have each and every one of us found the Lord? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Are you absolutely sure that you're born again and that heaven is your destiny? And this morning, on Christmas Sunday, this would be a good Sunday to ask yourself the question, am I really sure that if I were to die today, I would go to heaven to be with the Lord? And if you're not, please today, make sure. Invite Jesus to be your Savior. Talk to him alone. Say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me, and you were buried, and you paid for my sins. Lord, I want you to be my Savior today. They were wise in seeking Jesus. They were wise in seeking the truth about Jesus, and they found him. Every time they heard about the Word of God, whether it was way over in Babylon or whether it was from the priests and scribes, when they heard about Jesus, they listened very intently. They sought after truth. And just let me plug this in a little bit here. There are a lot of lies out there today in our society. There are a lot of lies of things which are called good, which are actually bad. And things which may be good, where they're called bad. The Bible talks about that. Woe to those who call that which is good, bad, and that which is bad, good. So God wants us, you see, to be those who really seek the Word of God. And the question is, like the wise men, they sought the Lord. They sought knowledge about Him. Will I, in 2017, be one who says, well, I've heard that passage before. You know, I know that. I've read that. Or will I be a person who in 2017 says, Lord, I want to learn more of your word. I want to take it in. I want you to teach me, living in a world where there's so much false teaching out there. The third thing about the wise men, they not only sought Jesus, they not only sought truth and his word, but they were wise to worship him. I just mentioned a couple minutes ago the fact that Don had said several weeks ago, it would be wonderful that we could come together on Christmas Sunday and worship the Lord on the day that we acknowledge his birth. The fact that you are here this morning worshiping the Lord, listen, I'm as serious as I can be. It pleases him. God wants us to worship him. Corporate worship is glorifying and praising God in his presence. And I know you know this, and I'm going to finish with this. The Word of God says, where two or three are gathered in my name. Okay, let's do it one more time. It was pretty good. Here we go. Where two or three are gathered in my name. So the Lord's here with us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us today. We thank you for the example of the shepherds. We thank you for the example of the wise men who worshiped you. And Lord, we pray in 2017, not only will we be people who desire to hear more from your word, but may we be people who desire to come together with your people, with brothers and sisters, even those who are here this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, may my worship be from my heart unto you, because you are worthy.
It is but night of
seated. Let's close in prayer.